Come on, it's all right to bless the Lord in this place. It's all right to magnify the Lord in this place. Does anybody have a praise in their spirit in this place? How many of you know that the Lord is able? How many of you know that God can do everything but fail? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. All of my help. Not some of it, not a little bit of it, but all of my help. Can somebody say all of my help? All of my help cometh from the Lord. We bless him today. We magnify him today. What a great reminder in song of what we all need to remember in praxis. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet? It's preaching time. We want to invite your attention to the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 9. And I want to read the first 12 verses in that chapter in the fourth gospel. John chapter number 9. Amen, someone. Let me know you're there. Amen. Starting in verse number 1. The Bible reads, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, verse 1. Give those who are at home listening on the radio an opportunity to make sure that they are there as well. The Bible reads as follows. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus. Come on, somebody. Made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. It may edify, may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of this sermon today. A man called Jesus. A man called Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight, for we believe that, Lord, you are our strength, and we know, God, that you are our Redeemer. We ask now that you will continue to magnify yourself in this place, that eyes may see, ears may hear what you are saying to the church on this day. Have your way, God. We shall be ever careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' sweet, wonderful, and mighty name, let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen. And amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. On this Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, ushers, you may be seated. I want to continue to reflect on the miracle-working power of Jesus our Christ. Last Sunday was the climax of our liturgical year. It was the apex of the celebration of Christianity. It was the denouement, as they say in French, the top of the ladder of what God came to do. Jesus gave his life that we may have life eternal. And as we think about what life is, I am a believer that life is more than mere existence. Life is more than just going through the motions. Life is about the fulfillment of the relationship that we have with our Redeemer, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Creator, and our Sustainer. Life is knowing that you can get a word through and a word from the Lord. Amen. Life is understanding that no matter what situation in which you find yourself, that you understand that you are not alone, that you've got divine power on your side. Life is understanding that no matter what the circumstances look like, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen, somebody. So Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Today's sermon, today's text, encounters our Jesus many weeks, if not months, prior to the great crucifixion and resurrection scene that we celebrated on last weekend. We find Jesus here at the front end of his ministry, having just gone through what many believe to have been the baptism scene and the temptation scene. And now Jesus has gathered his disciples and they are walking through the land. And as Jesus is ministering and doing what Jesus came to do, I think this is the scene. These are the scenes in which we can readily identify with Jesus touching the ordinary man and woman. Come on, someone. This is God incarnate passing by. This is God in the flesh making God's way towards us, by us, to us, toward us, next to us, with us. It is in these scenes that you and I ought to be able to grab hold to the humanity of God, of Jesus, understanding his divinity, because it is in these scenes that we ought to look in the text and identify ourselves with the protagonist and even in some cases the antagonist. For you see, Jesus's encounters were both with those who were allies in the enterprise of faith and those who were antagonists and opponents in this enterprise of faith. The antagonists were those who opposed Jesus, Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and a few others who were demon-possessed. We see them in the text, but I choose not to focus on the demons. I choose to focus on those who have been delivered. Come on, somebody. What you focus on will grow. How many of you understand that? What you focus on will grow. It will become bigger in your very eyes. What you focus on. And so if your attention and your focus is on that which is negative, then don't be surprised when that which is negative begins to grow. But if your attention is focused on the things of God, the things of godliness, the things of deliverance, don't be surprised then when you begin to have a whole new outlook on life. That which you focus on will grow. That's why the song just said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. All of my help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so that on which we focus shall grow. Jesus came that we may have life, have it more abundantly. that we will begin to shift our focus on those things of God. That's why Paul says, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are right, whatever things are of God, focus on those things. Meditate on those things. Because that on which you focus will grow. I'm going to keep using the power of repetition today so that it can seep into your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. Because that on which we focus will grow. And so I'm so grateful that Jesus came by. I don't want you to miss this very simple phrase in verse number 1. The Bible says, as Jesus passed by. I need some folk to understand that Jesus is still in the passing by business. And I've just come to the conclusion that if I can remind myself that Jesus passed on by, then maybe my circumstances won't look as bleak as they do. If I can remind myself that Jesus passed by, then maybe my situation may not look as burdensome as it looks. If I can remind myself that Jesus passed my way, then maybe I can muster up the strength to keep holding on, even if I think I'm at the end of my rope. If I can just muster up the remembrance that Jesus came my way. Has Jesus passed by anybody's house today? Has Jesus passed by anybody's job today? Has Jesus passed by anybody's mind today? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I've got to remember that Jesus passed on by. And not only did Jesus pass by, but Jesus is still passing by. Devil, I got to remind you that Jesus is passing by. I know that what you got, you're trying to mean it for the evil, but Jesus is coming on by. It isn't just something that happened in the past. It is something that started in the past, but it is continuing right now in my future. Jesus is passing by right now. Jesus is passing by right now. Jesus passed by. And as he passed by, the Bible says he encountered a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, Rabbi, Jewish word for teacher. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Didn't I just say that on which you focus will grow? Why did the disciples have to conclude from the outset that somebody has sinned? We take for granted that the negativity that we see in front of us is normal. And it's opposed to understanding if it's not option A and it's not option B, maybe it could be another option that we have not yet considered. Come on, somebody. Why was their conclusion a binary conclusion? Because somebody and the hypothesis undergirded their hypothesis, or the belief that undergirded their hypothesis, was somebody had to have sinned. Or else this man would not have been born blind. Surely, Jesus, somebody messed up along the way. Either he messed up, or his mama messed up, or his daddy messed up, or his grandparents messed up. Because surely he could not have been blind for some other reason. Their mind went to that which was negative. Somebody sinned. I want to stop there today on the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday to challenge all of us in the sanctuary, from the pastor to the pew, from the top to the bottom, from the right to the left, from the front to the back, that we understand that when God is in the picture, there is always another option, and that even though our mindset is binary, I need you to understand that just because I can't see it doesn't mean that God isn't working.
I don't understand it doesn't mean that God isn't about to move. It's because I can't wrap my mind around it. Doesn't mean that God isn't able to do it. Just because I can't understand the totality of what I see. I need us to back up for a moment and ask the third question. Where is God in the picture? Who is sin? Somebody had to have messed up. There's a Bible study series that we'll be doing on Wednesday night. So I want to invite all of you to, not just Wednesday night, but any of our Bible study. We've got wonderful, gifted, anointed men and women leading our studies. And I'm excited about all the vibrant conversations that are going on in the church around the Bible. Because that's my main job, is to get folk excited about God's Word. For the flower may fade, the grass may wither, but the Word of God will last forever. Long after Reverend Armstrong is off the scene, you need to make sure you've got the Word of God. Reverend Woodson was here 53 years, but he's here no longer. Reverend White was here 42 years, but he's here no longer. I've been here 16 years. Number 17 is not guaranteed, but no matter who the pastor is, you got to make sure you've got the Word of God hidden deep inside of your heart. For it is the Word of God that's going to be your gas in the gas tank. It's the Word of God that's going to be your light in the midst of darkness. You've got to have God's Word. So this notion of understanding the Word, we are studying in this Bible study series, the Bible and mental health, looking at our mindset and looking at what is the psychosomatic, psycho mind, somatic, soma, Latin body. What is the effect that my mind has on my body? And I believe that the mind has an effect on the body. What you focus on will grow. Your mind has a mindset on what you can do in the flesh. Your mind has a mindset of what you think your abilities or disabilities are. Your mind has a mindset of what you think your limits and your limitations are. Your mind has a mindset of the heights you can reach, the depths you can go, the widths you can traverse. Your mind has a mindset. Your mind has an impact on your physical reality. So we're looking at this in this Bible study. What are the effects of the mind on the body? Mental health in the Bible. 6 o'clock, Wednesday nights, be there or be square. Listen to their question. Who sinned? Who messed up? Because somebody had to have messed up for this man to have been born blind. I want you to look at Jesus' response. Jesus responds in verse number 3. Neither, right? Get out of the binary mindset. Neither the man sinned, nor did his parents sin, but the third option is that the works of God should be revealed in him. I need someone there to understand that God's work is never ending, and it is complex and it is intricate, and we don't always understand. And even though we see the outworks of something else, you need to ask yourself the question, where is God in the picture? And truth be told, a lot of us have the same mindset as the disciples have. Because when we look around at our situations, don't even look at anybody else, look around at your situation. Just because you're down in the valley, somebody will conclude, God is punishing me. Just because you're on the rough side of a mountain, somebody's going to come to the conclusion that God is surely punishing me. Just because you found a lump on your breast, women, or your PSA count, men, has been higher than normal, I don't want you to conclude that God is punishing you. Because when you get out of the binary mindset that either I messed up or God is punishing me, there is a third option. The third option is this: neither he messed up, nor am I punishing you, but I'm trying to do something in you so that I can get some glory out of your circumstance. I'm trying to do something in you so that I can get some praise from those who doubt my ability. I'm trying to do something in you that you don't understand, they don't understand, nobody understands, because nobody knows the mindset of God. But how many of you know that God is in the mountain moving, door opening, bridge building, body healing, job giving, business? Come on, somebody. God is in that kind of business. My God, why don't we ever consider the other option? Why is our mindset so prone to negativity? Why is our mindset so prone to pessimism? Why is our mindset so prone to not being able to see what God is trying to do? Jesus says nobody sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed. Do we understand that God is trying to reveal God's self? God wants to show up, but some of us won't let him show up. God wants to manifest himself, but some of us won't allow God to be manifested. God wants to open up new vistas and horizons, but some of us don't want to see what God is trying to do. God is trying to take you places you never thought you would go, but some of us don't want to go there because we're afraid. I don't know about you, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. I serve a big God. I don't want to limit him. I don't want to put him in a box. I want to let somebody know that God is a big God, and that God wants to do big things in our lives. God wants to do big things in your life. He wants to make you into Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you can go. But you gotta wanna go there, y'all. Come on, can I say that again? God wants to take you places, but you gotta wanna go there. Why do I say that? Because the man had a choice. After Jesus reflects the text or gives the statement, nobody sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no one can work. I don't know when the sun is going to set. We don't know how much more time we've got. We don't know when we might breathe our last breath. But you've got to work the works of God while he sent you. You've got to do the work while the sun is still shining. Because there's going to come a time you're not going to be able to do the work. There's going to come a time when the sun may not shine like it's shining right now. There's going to come a time when your body's not going to be able to do all that it's able to do right now. There's going to come a time when you're not able to see like you can see right now. There's going to come a time when you're not able to run like you can run right now. There's going to come a time when you're not able to talk like you can talk right now. Why put off to tomorrow what you can do today? You've got to work the works of God while you have the opportunity to do it right now. Bible says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And here's what Jesus does. After saying that, he let his actions speak louder. He stooped down on the ground, spat, mixed it with the clay. And he said, come here, to the brother that sat by the pool, or sat blind, excuse me. And with the divine spit, can I say that again? The divine spit. I've encountered other folks spit, but I've never encountered the divine spit being applied to my eyes, literally. Took the clay, put it on the man's eyes. The Bible says that he told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now here's the issue. The man had a choice. Jesus was in front of him. Jesus has now applied the pharmaceutical mixture of divine spit and earthly clay. Put it on the man's eyes and said, go wash. But don't you know he still had a choice whether or not to get up from there? Don't you know he still had a choice? He could have said, I don't know who this man is. He just put some stuff on my eyes. There have been a lot of other folk who tried putting stuff on my eyes, and it's never worked before. Why do I think this man is going to be any different than all the rest of them? Or maybe he simply says, I don't know who this man is. I don't know. I don't want him touching me. I don't know. I don't know what was going through the man's mindset. But didn't I just say that on which you focus will grow? Didn't I just say that your mind has an impact on your body? That man had to make up in his mind, am I going to trust this man that just put some stuff on my eyes? Am I going to get up from here and go walk towards the pool? Am I going to dip my toe in the pool? Am I going to dip down deep enough in order that the water can get to my eyes? Am I going to make up my mind? I just stopped by to tell somebody that the God I serve need some people who have a mind to worship him. That the God I serve is looking for some folk that in spite of what the circumstance look like, you gonna believe Jesus instead of believing the reports of those around you. God is looking for some people that don't mind getting up from where they are, picking up their circumstance, picking up their heavy heart, picking up their pessimistic mindset, and say, I tried everything else. Let me try Jesus. I'm going down to the pool. I'm going to put my toe in the water. I'm going to wash my eyes. I may have tried everything else. I may have tried everybody else. Or I may not have tried anything. But at that very moment, I had a decision to make. Am I going to trust Jesus? Am I going to trust him? Been blind a long time, but am I going to trust him? Can't see a thing. Blind from birth, never seen the sun rise, never seen the tree leaves blow, never seen the bees buzz and the birds flap, never seen the river water flow. I've never seen it, but I've got a decision to make. The Bible says he went down to the pool, washed in the pool. Don't you know that the blind man who was born blind from birth is now counted in the number of those who can see. I'm no ophthalmologist. I'm no optometrist. I don't have anything to do with the physical eyesight, but I am a spiritual ophthalmologist, and I am a spiritual optometrist. And if I can help somebody see something that they've never seen before, if I can help somebody see beyond their circumstance, if I can help somebody see beyond their limitations, if I can help somebody see beyond what's their blockade, if I can help somebody see Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then God is using me. And God wants to use you. As of today, you all have been certified in Jesus' spiritual school of optometry. You all have been stamped and sealed and approved. Go out and help somebody know it's not what you see with your eye. It's what you see with your spirit. You don't walk by faith. You walk by sight. Go and let somebody know that God is in the blessing business. Bible says that the man who was born blind was now able to see. The text concludes by neighbors. How many of you know there's always going to be some neighbors? I'm not saying what kind of neighbors they are. There's always going to be some neighbors. How many of you know y'all live next to somebody, and somebody got used to seeing you in the circumstance you were in, and not everybody wants to see you being able to see. And those neighbors, somebody tap your friend, your neighbor, and say, neighbor, I don't want you to be the kind of neighbor that's in the text. Be a different kind of neighbor. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, therefore, the neighbors, those who had previously seen the man blind. Amen. Now, is this not the one who was begging? You know how neighbors do. If they had social media, they would have went on Facebook and said, is this not the one who had nothing? If they had Twitter back in that day, it would have been hashtag. Is this not the one who was blind? If they had Instagram, they would have took a picture of him, put him up on Instagram, said, hey, y'all, isn't this the one who sat by the sat there begging? Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? The neighbors who doubted. The Bible says, some said, this is the one. He's like him. But how many of you know it's not what other folks say about you? My God, my God. Can I help somebody out today? It's not what other folks say about you. It's what you say about what God has done in your life. All the neighbors talked about him. All the folk around him talked about him. But finally, he stood up and said, I am the one. I'm the one that was blind. I'm the one that y'all talked about like a dog. I'm the one that y'all looked down upon. I'm the one that y'all thought would never grow up to be anybody. I'm the one that you put in a box. I'm the one that had nothing. I'm the one that was broke from the flow up. I'm the one that didn't have a job. I'm the one that had cancer in my body. I'm the one that had high PSA count. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. But I need you to know that's who I was. Come on, somebody. But that's not who I am now. I am healed. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? The man gave his testimony. The man said, they said, where is this man that healed you? He said, I don't know where he is. And if I were to impute one small criticism about the brother, and it really is not even a criticism about him, it's really an admonition to us. He said, I don't know where Jesus is. Jesus said, go and tell people your testimony. When they ask, where is he? The one that healed you, I don't know. But don't we have the ultimate epitome of the 21st century backseat driver? You can look now that this man didn't know where Jesus went, but we've got the benefit in 21st century America of knowing not only who he is, but we know where he went. The Bible says he stepped on a cloud. He was ascended up into heaven. I know where he is. He's up there seated by the right hand of the throne of God. And one day soon, he's coming back to get you and me. A church without spot. A church without wrinkle. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I still got some messed up mindset. But I'm so glad that Jesus is coming back. I'm so glad. I'm glad. Man, I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm joyful today that I've got the benefit of knowing where Jesus is. And because I know where he is, my God, that helps me today in my circumstances. Can I help you? Maybe what you're going through is not to punish you. Maybe what you're going through is not to hurt you. Maybe what you're going through is not to harm you. But maybe what you're going through is that God can get the glory out of your circumstances. So consider that it's not just when I took geometry, I learned about the x-axis and the y-axis. But man, did my mindset expand when I learned that you can go to the left of the x-axis and you can go underneath the y-axis. Now, folk may be saying, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. But I learned something called vectors. That said, in three-dimensional, there can be something coming out of another axis. All I'm trying to say is, stop limiting God. That's all I'm trying to say. Stop putting God in a box. Stop thinking it's just this or that. But God's got another answer. And God wants to get the glory. God wants you to give him the glory. God wants you to lift him up. God wants you to give him the praise. God wants you to give him the Lord, the glory, because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. In the name of Jesus. That's all God told me to tell you this morning. Let the church say amen. To God be the glory. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend an invitation to discipleship today. We bless his name. We bless his name today. We bless his name today. Deacons, deaconess, clergy are standing in the pews because we want to extend the invitation to someone. I don't know who you are, where your mindset is, but I'm hoping that you would let go and let God today. God wants to do something new in your circumstance. But if you only see it as two-dimensional, you're going to miss what God is trying to do. So I want to invite you, anyone, everyone here, step out of your seat and give us your hand and give God your heart. If you don't have a church home, this is the time when we want you to come join this church if you feel led to do that. That God wants to bring you to the body of fellowship with other believers so that you can grow as a brother and sister in Christ. So I want to stop for a moment and just ask, is there anyone who wants to join the church today? Anyone who wants to join, just come on down the aisle. This is your time to do that. You've been praying about this decision. You've been thinking about it. You've been visiting. And now God might be saying, this is your moment. Won't you come on down the aisle? Anyone here today? But membership doesn't save you. Relationship is what saves you. And so I want to invite then those of you who wish to consider a relationship with Christ Jesus. Maybe you're listening to us on the radio and you've never made a decision for Christ. This is your opportunity to simply lift up your hands. For the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on the name of Jesus right now with all sincerity and say, Lord, come into my life, be Lord over my life, I believe God will step into your circumstance and step into your situation. And so if you're here today and that's what God is saying, come on down the aisle. I want you to let go. Take that first step towards a new life in Jesus Christ. Anyone here today want to take that first step? Anyone here today want to take the first step?
From the bottom of my heart,
to the depths of my soul.
To the depths of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Anybody want to give God your complete yes?
Complete yes.
Oh, my soul.
My soul.
Come on, choir. Take it from the top. From the top. Yes, Lord. Somebody just need to say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Anyone here?
From the bottom of my heart.
Anyone here?
From the depth of my soul.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Completely, yes. My soul.
Every head bowed, every head closed. Every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, I just ask now your divine blessings upon those of us who are here. We needed to hear your word today, God, that we may learn and accept and grow in your word. I thank you for giving us today this reminder that we can be better, go further, have more, God, than what we've had on yesterday. But only because of our belief in you. So I pray now, if there's a man, a woman, boy, a girl who've never let go, trusted you with their heart, I pray that you would call someone out, that someone would do like the man, pick up where they are and walk towards everlasting life. So Father, have your way now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let the people of God say, amen and amen. I really do. Anybody here? You may be seated. One more time. I love you.
I love you.
God so loved the